independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Reince is a good man. John Kelly will do a fantastic job. General Kelly has been a star. General Kelly has been a star. Done an incredible job thus far. Respected by everybody. A great, great American. Reince Priebus, a good man. Thank you very much.
Didn't he say the same thing about Sessions?
Yeah, everybody's a star. Everybody's good people. Everybody's all those things. But you know what? They're not employed anymore. You're on borrowed time with a guy like Donald Trump. He is a lot to be around. He is somebody who is... It's a lot, man. You learn a lot, but you go through a lot. And in those 6 months, 7 months, a year, whatever you're with him, you burn out fast. It seems like fun, right? It's like you ever date that girl or that guy that is like, it's a roller coaster the entire time and it's amazing. And you look back and you think, oh my God, what was I thinking? Right? I mean, I learned a lot from that. It was great. And we had chemistry and the whole. It's that way with Trump. Reince Priebus, Rance Priskin, as our good friend Don King called him, is out. So you had Spicy gone, Rance Priskin gone. Not many people are left that you would think are traditional Republicans. You got that Mooch guy that is not a traditional Republican, and we'll touch basically on him a little later. He's more entertaining than anything else, right? Like, he's way more entertaining than any. Trump wanted somebody around him that was like him, and that's what he is. Just a younger version of Trump. But Reince Priebus is no longer chief of staff. John Kelly has been... is that a promotion? So you go from Homeland Security to that. Would that be considered a promotion? Lateral move? I don't... is it lateral? I don't know. I don't... Man, and I tell you what. Watch out when you get close to the star because you burn fast. That's the... Have you noticed that everybody who gets in and around Trump, there, it's just... And then it's over. And that's what I feel like with him. See, except for family, says our good friend Anthony, which I don't even know at that point in time either, because I'm waiting for him to fire one of the kids. Not only fire him, but make them to the point where you're no longer my kid. That's it. You're so fired, you're not even my kid anymore. You're not even my kid anymore. Speaking of Trump, he spoke on health care. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Reince Priebus because most of you have no idea who he is. He was the chief of staff. He ran the Republicans for a while, the RNC. But if he came into your grocery store, good portion of you probably would know, or dare I say care, right? You'd be more excited to see Khloe Kardashian or Kid Rock or somebody like that than you would, or The Rock, Reince Priebus. That's it. That's deep in the weeds. Don't care. It is what it is. Sacrificial lambs are coming. You know, this is it's the leaks. And scare. I don't care about any of that stuff. But something did happen last night. It was health care. It failed. It failed big time. The skinny vote, not so skinny.
The ayes are 49. The nays are 51. The motion is not agreed to.
Not agreed to. So no skinny vote. I said today, tweeted out today, I think, quite frankly, we should have had a little bit chubbier vote, right? Little meat on the bones. See where that goes. That might have helped, right? But all the skinny vote was going to do was going to get it into this thing called conference where they can then debate, start to make changes, do things like that. That's all it really was. Wasn't anything spectacular. It wasn't going to be the actual bill. It was just a way to advance it, to get into the point where they could debate it, start doing other things with it. It just didn't happen, and that is not a shocker.
You know, I said from the beginning, let Obamacare implode and then do it. I turned out to be right. Let Obamacare implode.
Well, yeah, it's going to implode. It's going to implode. You know, when I was traveling around and enjoying myself over the last, you know, week that I was off, that was a topic in the Midwest for a lot of people, was Obamacare. And first, it's called Obamacare, but it's really called the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, which is, you know, whatever. It's not really affordable, whatever. But people think it's Obama. It's Obama. And there is some of that. And the Democrats want to defend this thing tooth and nail across the board. It's legacy. It's them. It's the last thing they want is the Republicans to fix something. Because if they fix health care, you're essentially assed out. Health care cost them over 1,000 seats across the country over the last 7.5 years. And if the Republicans fixed health care, it's going to cost them another 500 seats plus, and it's good. They're going to maintain what they have and then some. So there is a certain sense of we got to sit here, we got to fight all this stuff, yeah, whatever. Don't care. But it is failing. And the Republicans have failed tremendously in getting this thing sorted out.
They should have approved health care last night, but you can't have everything. Boy, oh boy. They've been working on that one for 7 years. Can you believe that?
And that's a shot at Republicans by Trump. They've been working on that for 7 years. And this is where we are. Doesn't fix anything, though. Right? Wasn't going to fix anything. But last night, everybody's talking about one particular vote. That vote was John McCain's vote. That vote was the one that everybody, well, they oohed and aahed and gasped.
Mr. Peters.
No.
And you heard him say no, and it was a McCaskill, right? Susan Collins. These two women have been no the entire time, but they thought it was across the board. But I'm here to tell you what took place 2.5-3 weeks ago with John McCain and him finding out he had a blood clot, then eventually a tumor that is, for all intents and purposes, going to be more than likely something that's going to probably end his life, barring some sort of miracle. He's probably on borrowed time. And I will tell you this, that played a huge role into him saying no. Played a massive role. Life is about experiences. And he experienced something last night. And he experienced something over the last 2 weeks. How vitally important healthcare is. And remember, they got better healthcare than we do. That's just the way it is. People say, well, they should be on. Yeah, that sounds great, but they're not, right? You know, I mean, let's stop with they should be on this and they should be on. I don't care. I don't. I want affordable health care that is not only affordable, but is real, actual care, where I have a one-on-one with my physician more than I do the health care insurance marketplace people. That's more important to me. All right. People who have money will always have better stuff. People are in better positions, i.e. healthcare positions. If you're the head of a healthcare company, you've got great healthcare, right? Right. If you're the head of the country, you got great healthcare. If you're a billionaire, you've got great healthcare. You can have a doctor follow you around. I don't worry about that stuff. Never have. I'm over that. I'm worried about the day to day of the everyday Americans. That's all of us. All right. That, to me, is vitally important. But this last night was exactly what I thought it was going to be. I didn't think it was going to pass. I thought there would be more. But what took place with John McCain over the last few weeks, I think, played a massive part. Knowing that he's got a brain tumor, knowing that potentially it is fatal and terminal, that they're not going to be able to fix. That played huge. Experience is so vitally important to people, and I don't think people understand that. I don't. People are frustrated. I know. I hear it all the time. They're very frustrated. Extremely frustrated, because we're all sick and tired of the rising cost of healthcare, the lack of choices, the fact that when we go to our provider, it's 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes. We don't really get any time with them, and we seem further away than ever before, but we'll spend more time dealing with the day-to-day information and fighting with insurance companies, and we're seeing our premiums rise, and we're asking questions, why does this Band-Aid cost $500 here, but I can buy 500 of them for a dollar somewhere else? That's the frustration we have. That is. But here's the thing. Mitch McConnell did something yesterday that I thought was good. At some point in time, you've got to go back on the offense, right? It was easy for the last several years to be on the offense and have these fake votes that you knew never were going to pass and nothing was ever going to happen. It was easy to be on the offense. But then it was time to play. It was in the balls in their court, and they had to do it. And you have to go back after the Democrats. You have to throw it back to them and remind them the reason that we're in the position that we're in at this point in time is because of you. Because of you. And where are your bright ideas? Because let's be completely honest, this thing ain't going to last.
So I expect that they are pretty satisfied tonight. I regret to say that they succeeded in that effort. So now I think it's appropriate to ask, what are their ideas?
Yeah. What are their ideas? That's the question. What's your ideas? Mitch McConnell's, he's asking you guys. I'm leader of the Senate. I'm it. I'm the dude. We couldn't get it done. But you guys got it all going on. What's your idea? You broke it. We're trying to fix it. You're saying no. This is a pissing match between us because you really, really want to keep Obama's legacy intact. And at the same time, the Democrats are looking over going, you guys really, really over there, the Republicans, you really want to get rid of Obama's legacy. No, I want this thing fixed. I don't care about this. It's called the ACA. We call it Obamacare, for, you know, because it's easy. It rolls off the tongue. It's easy to brand something like that. Whatever. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Should matter to you. It's insane. It really is. It's absolutely insane. But now's the time to go back on the offense.
It's time for our friends on the other side to tell us what they have in mind. And we'll see how the American people feel about their ideas.
Well, let's figure it out. How do they feel? What's going to happen? What's the reality of what's going to take place over the next coming weeks, months? I will say this. You can't look at it as a loss, but one of the things that struck me over the last couple of days is the desperation to get this thing done causes people to do stupid things and give away things. Sit down, talk, debate, listen. Be real, be honest, be truthful. Come up with something that works as best as possible. You're not going to please everybody. You're going to piss some people off. Some people are going to lose some coverage. Some people's coverages are going to go up. But we got to be real. This thing's dead and dying. How do we fix it? Measure twice, cut once. Sometimes they came across to me as desperate. That guy looking for a date doesn't care at that point in time. Desperation is what they came across as. Don't be desperate. Be smart. Get it done right. We've waited 7.5 years. We can wait a few more months, but get it right. And yes, bring the Democrats in. Everybody should have skin in this game. Everybody. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chadbensonshow.com. Well, thank Casey for sitting in me for the last couple of days. Been gone out enjoying myself. Got some fun stuff to talk about what I was doing. Very interesting, this world we live in. I love it. I do. And we live in two Americas, and we will touch on that. Text the program, as always, 323-538-2423, and tweet at us, at Chad Benson Show. Happy Friday. It's the Chad Benson Show.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
Losers tonight are the millions of Americans who've been hurt under Obamacare, the millions of Americans who've lost their jobs, who've been forced into part-time work, forced to work 28, 29 hours a week, the millions of Americans who've had their health insurance canceled.
That right there, Ted Cruz. Theodore, as we like to call him around these parts. Millions of Americans, part-time work, not so part-time work. I don't know. Look, there are so many things to go into this. And, you know, here's another story that you didn't hear about. Rasmussen came out with it, but CBO reported that if you took the mandate away, the Obamacare ACA mandate, 15 million people would opt out of having health care. So losing 22 or 26 million all of a sudden doesn't look so bad. There are so many things that go into this, and the frustration is so big for a lot of people. It's nuts. It is. It's not going to be solved overnight. And the other thing is, not everybody's going to be happy. Some people out there listening want a repeal and replace bad, and you're going to get it eventually. And you know what? It's going to hurt you. And some people out there don't want a repeal and replace. And you know what? It's going to be better for you. The thing is, can you get 65, 70% of the people to buy into it? You're always going to have a group of people that aren't going to be happy, because it is going to affect them. But can you get that 65 to 70% of the people and make them somewhat happy? Not going to make everybody happy. And you're not going to make everybody 100% happy. But can you do better for a larger group of people? Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. As we do each and every single day, we make our world a little bit cooler and hipper. We do this by this thing called the Urban Word of the Day.
It's time for the Urban Word of the Day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban Word of the Day.
Today's Urban Word of the Day is kind of funny because, you know, the weed thing is going and it's rocking and it's rolling. And states are going, now we're going to have weed. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And we're going to make money off of it. And you know what? There's cannabis, and then there's cannabisness. Cannabisness is what they're calling it. What are you doing, man? I'm handling a little cannabisness. See the way that is? They play that right there, a little cannabisness. But it is big business. It is huge business, and it's booming. But you're going to hear the kids start to say this, and people are going, cannabisness? Yeah, I kind of like that. That's kind of got a good ring to it. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
The skinny bill as policy is a disaster. The skinny bill as a replacement for Obamacare is a fraud. The skinny bill is a vehicle to get in conference to find a replacement. It is not a replacement in of itself.
Lindsey Graham, skinny bill. Again, a skinny bill, what does it mean? What was it? I give it to you quick and easy. They'd have passed that, gone on a conference, and they could have debated it, add some stuff, took some stuff away. Didn't happen. The debate for healthcare is going to go on. It's going to rage on in this country across the board. Speaking of this country, I was fortunate enough to spend some time in the Midwest, and we live in two Americas. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Hillary Clinton revealing her new book out this September will answer the question, what happened? The publisher saying Secretary Clinton will write with, quote, unprecedented candor about what it was like to run against Donald Trump, about Russia, candor, about James Comey, and what it was like to become the first female nominee of a major party. The book is due out September 12th tonight already, Amazon's number one bestseller in pre-orders.
Let me tell you what's not in the book that Clinton is going to release. Any hands holding up saying, look, the reason we lost, there was a lot of stuff going on. I was flying around the room. You know, I did some things that made people question whether or not you could trust me. But the reason we lost really was because of me. An admission of I was a horrible candidate, right? I was the worst candidate in the world. I don't understand human emotion. I don't understand how to interact with human beings. I don't understand any of those things. I am completely unrelatable to anybody in the world. And it's odd because my husband is one of the most relatable candidates and presidents in the history of our political world. But I, on the other hand, have zero emotion. I have none of the special skills of the Terminator, yet I have all of the emotions of the original Terminator. That's what should be in the book. Are there other reasons? Did other people fail her? Yes, I'm sure they did. But she failed herself, and that will not be in the book. I normally don't like to talk about stuff like this because I could care less. But I just found it funny that this is coming out. And I love these kind of things when they come out. When people have nothing to lose, right? Perfect example was John McCain. I think he thought, you know, all the things that are going on with his brain and with all of this stuff, and he doesn't really think he has anything to lose. He voted yesterday, I think, with his conscience as much as anything and what he thought was right. When people have nothing to lose, they're willing to air out everything. It's great, right? Because you find out what really took place. That's not going to be in this book. Because the number one reason she lost is you're unrelatable. That's it. You're unrelatable. People don't get you. You can't say you haven't driven a car in over 2.5 decades and expect people to get you. You know who hasn't driven a car ever? The Queen. That's fine. I get that. You're not supposed to touch the Queen. You're like the Queen, but with none of the redeeming qualities. That was it. And look, Trump has a lot of non-redeeming qualities, right? There's a lot of things about the guy I'm not a big fan about. But he was kind of somewhat likable. You thought if you were in the same room with him, you could sit there and BS with him for 5 minutes and it not feel awkward. With Hillary, I don't get it. Somewhere along the line, something had to go on, right? Because you can't think she was like this always. Maybe she was. I don't know. That's not going to be in the book, though. That's what should be in the book is I was the worst candidate ever because I don't understand human emotion or human beings. Could you imagine if aliens came here and she was our president? Like, what would that be like? How awkward would those things be? She'd be like, they're like, oh my God, they sent a robot to get us. You know, what? That's what it would have been like. That's what it would have been like. Oh, you're from outer space. Oh, I have no emotions either. That's it. They'd have been like, what are you wearing? Why do you dress like Chairman Mao? I'm just saying. Text the program 323-538-2423. We live in two different worlds, man. It is crazy. I was in the Midwest for the last week enjoying myself with several radio stations. Had a good time. Man, we live in two different worlds. It's two different Americas. You know, I know Dana's got a book out talking about the flyover nation, and it's a good book. I will say this. It's the two Americas we live in are so, and at times, probably three and four Americas. It's crazy. I loved being in the Midwest. You know, coming from California, California dude, born and raised, but I've lived all over, been very fortunate, I've been very blessed in my life to do all the things I could do. But man, I will tell you this. It was amazing to see people and just the different values that people have. You know, coming from California, look, the thing about California, it's the thing about the New York, you know, and the Eastern Seaboard and out here in the West. I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of people think, especially the Northeast, not so much, you know, you move down to the Carolinas and whatnot, but, you know, Florida, but the Northeast, you come this attitude as if you have a large, salty body of water that somehow you're better than people, right? Because you have access to, quote unquote, museums and you have access to shows that somehow you know better than everybody else because they don't have these things. But what I noticed is people are real. People are honest. People are kind. People are. Last night, landed late, sitting in the car, look over at the bus driver, right? Los Angeles. Here we are, LAX. Now, mind you, the last week and a half, you know, or a week or so, I've been in the Midwest. Everybody says hi, you know. And me, I'm like, what's wrong with these people? They're like waving at you. They're talking to you. Like, that's odd. That's uncomfortable. Don't do that. You know, because I'm coming from California, right? Like, we don't. And it was so nice. So you went everywhere. You talked to people. It was great. Lady driving the bus last night. It's like 12:30. Look over. I wave. She gives me a dirty look and drives off. And I thought, well, that's LA right there. That's it. It's just a different world that we live in. And there is two different Americas. And the thing I noticed about, you know, one thing that was so surprising, and I've talked to my uncle about this, my Uncle Paul, who is Hispanic, whose wife is black, just went back to Birmingham, Alabama, had a great time, and he was surprised at the diversity. He was surprised at the kindness of people, and he was waiting for all the jokes about racism, this, that, and the other, and he goes, it wasn't there. It wasn't. Here I am in Missouri, and, you know, you think, okay, Bible Belt, the whole nine yards. You know what? Diverse. I live in California. You know what California is? Forced diversity. You're diverse throughout the day if you work with people, if you're just any, but you know what you are in the afternoon and the evening when you go home? You're not diverse. You're segregated. It's crazy. It was so interesting. But we live in two different Americas. And it's funny, too, because what we value, say, in California or New York or, you know, the coastal living is so much different than what the people in the Midwest value. They value, they have family values. They have a different kind of world and value that they look at. Neither side is right or wrong. I'm not saying that that's the only values or that the people on the coast are. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is it is interesting to see the two different Americas that we live in. And you see why there's a divide. In California, where I live, you look around and you know, the kids, they do their own thing. They find a lot of their values from outside influences. And they take a lot of that to heart, and that includes teachers, professors, that includes the things in the internet and the world like that. And yet you're in the Midwest, and you know what I find? That a lot of it is that family kind of values, that it's brought to you by your family. There's a portion of that is brought to you by your church and your surrounding family and friends. It's a much different thing. Again, you can get some of that here, and you get some of the other kind of stuff in the Midwest. But it was just interesting to see the two different dynamics in this country, the two different Americas. And it was eye-opening. People and you can find great people everywhere and bad people. I'm not saying everybody is great and everybody here is bad. I'm not saying that, but it was a very interesting world. And I even find that in California. When I first moved up to Sacramento, my friends in Southern California were making fun of Sacramento. My friends in San Francisco were making fun of Sacramento as if it was some sort of hick town. And it was funny because even in places like California, you know, Bakersfield and Sacramento are seen to be something completely different compared to that coast. And this whole thing about having the ocean and an art gallery and it all, like, all of those things are important in life when they're really not. And what people care about, what people value there are different. Again, neither's right, neither's wrong. It's just much different. I will say this, if I had a chance to move Jack away from here, in California, I would have no problem doing that. I think what that offers is a much different world. Yes, life's a little bit slower at times, which is fine. Here, you know, in a lot of places, we run around with chickens like our heads cut off, trying to please the world and keep up with the Joneses, which we don't always do. But I was really just taken, you know, back by just the fact that we live in two different Americas. What one part of the country has beliefs in compared to the other part. And I think we all want the same thing. I just think we want to go about getting there in a much different way. But it was very eye-opening, and the people were very, very, very cool, very interesting, very open. We talked about politics. We talked about life. You know, I was watching a soccer game. People asked me, why you watch a soccer game? I don't get soccer. And I was trying to explain it to them. And, you know, it was just – but you could see that, you know, again, it's just a different world. It is. And here, I think, in a lot of places, we put way too much pressure on ourselves to keep up with the Joneses, to be ahead of the curve, to be a lot of those things that there they take other things and they say, you know what, this is the way we think you should live or we should live. And it was great. It really was. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Once again, Reince Priebus gone, outed, kicked out. He says he resigned. Yeah, well, we'll touch a bit on that. Plus, we've got movies and the highest paid of these. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Have you guys seriously never heard of donuts?
Somewhere in the world, at any given moment, Chad is thinking about sugary, sweet glazed donuts.
Mmm, donut.
Nothing new there.
I think you and I are gonna get along just okay.
How do you spell it?
What?
How do you spell your name?
Oh, let's see, A... C... Flim...
Jeff Dunham made $15 million last year. Not bad. Top 10 comics, comedians as far as money made is, it's quite impressive, man. You make people laugh. You get paid well. You get paid very well. It's the sitcom side of things, though, that also do very well for a lot of these people. Number five. And somebody I thought I really like is Jim Gaffigan. He made $30 million last year. A lot of that had to do with his TV show. But he is, to me, I see him, you know, he's one of those comics you take everybody to. But he's his observational comedy is absolutely hilarious.
Tonight I had a hot pocket for dinner. Good to see I'm not the only white trash here. I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores, I'm like, yeah, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm gonna die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face?
I love Gaffigan, he's great. Chris Rock, doing very well. I'm looking here. I mean, you know, I was surprised. Like, Kevin Hart only did $32 million. But when you think about all the stuff that Kevin Hart has been in over the last year, I would have thought he made more. Amy Schumer did very well. But Chris Rock, holding steady, just, you know, a couple $45 million. That's good money. That's very good money for Mr. Chris Rock.
If the kid call his grandmama mommy and his mama Pam, on the jail. You ain't saving no college money. You saving bail money.
That is so true. That is so true. Louis C.K. did very well. Number one was Seinfeld. Seinfeld did $70 million, and most of that's the residuals off the show. It's huge. You kill it off those. That's where it's at. Phil, I'm telling you, man, we need a hit show or we need to write one song that's a seasonal song that plays at least 6 weeks a year. You're living the dream. You're living the dream. And I don't find Seinfeld to be all that funny. I thought the show was good. I don't think it was as great as a lot of people thought it was. But, man, I tell you what, that is where the money is at. That's where I know he tours, but he doesn't make that kind of money off the touring. He doesn't. I was more surprised, though, about Kevin Hart. Because Kevin Hart sells out places where they play NFL football games. That's insane. And he's had two big hit movies, and yet he only did $32 million. Somebody needs to get him a better agent. I'm just throwing it out there. Somebody needs to get him a better agent.
We all serve at the pleasure of the president, and if he gets to a place where that isn't the case, he'll let you know.
Well, he's let Reince Priebus know that he is no longer happy with the with what's going on, and I think having the mooch there, Scott a mooch, didn't help either. That guy's a trip. He really is. Like, he is, first of all, the things that he said. His foul mouth is just makes Tom Perez of the Democrats look like he's an amateur, right? I mean, he is he's off, crazy off in some of the stuff he was saying about Steve Bannon and all. I mean, it's nuts. And, you know, the fact that he and, you know, Priebus and him were supposed to be friends for several years, yet at the same time he challenged him, said, you're essentially the leaker. Prove that you're not the leaker. So Reince saw the writing on the wall, and he stepped away as chief of staff. John Kelly, General Kelly's going to go from Homeland Security to chief of staff. I don't know how that's going to be. And Trump is surrounding himself with people that I don't know. I really don't. I sit around, I think, I'm not quite sure. You know you're on borrowed time. You know that there's only so much that you can take, right? To me, Trump is a lot like David Lee Roth and Van Halen, right? Like, they loved having him, and at the same time, they didn't ever want to be around him. That's kind of that to me is what Trump, he's a lot, right? He's a lot. He's not Van Hagar, which is going to give you steadiness. But at the same time, you know, everybody loves Van Halen with David Lee Roth. But if you're not in the band, you don't know what it's like to be around David Lee Roth. It's the same thing with Trump. I think being around him is a lot like that. It's a lot to handle. You'll come away with a smile and you'll go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but you'll look back and go, that was insane, and I never want to get on that ride again. Text the program 323-538-2423. Tweet at us at Chad Benson Show. You can call the program as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.